Go ahead and find your place in the last book. We are walking through this book verse by verse and word by word. And we are going to turn today to the last part of chapter 3. Before we do so, here's my reminder for you each week as to the reason you have the book of Revelation in your Bible. Why is it in the catalog of books in the canon of Scripture? Well, it is there to encourage believers during times of intense persecution. Book of Revelation is not in your Bible to give you imagery, to give you metaphors, necessarily to teach you details about the Antichrist, the millennial reign of Christ, the plagues of the apocalypse. It is there to encourage you during times of great intense persecution. And it also, by the time you get to the end of the book, it reminds you that God is in complete control. And there is nothing that is going to happen in this world, anything in this book in particular, that is going to rattle Him. So today I want you to turn to chapter 3. We are at the end of the chapter. And we are looking at seven churches to which John the Apostle was instructed to write letters, to address issues in the churches, to encourage them and point out very specific details. As we turn to a new church today, and the last church of the seven, I think it is helpful for us to remind ourselves, geographically speaking, where we have been, where we are. So you remember the book of Revelation begins with a guy named John. John the Apostle is a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Now, because he is faithful and holds to the word of truth, he is banished to an island of exile. He is banished to a penal colony, a prison island, and it's entirely for the purpose or for the reason of his faith in Christ. It is called persecution. So when you look at the map, any Bible, the back of your Bible has maps for the most part, and you look at the map and you find this picture of the seven churches of Revelation, Mediterranean Sea, Israel off to the right side of the Mediterranean Sea, Jerusalem marked down there, and you go over to that little dot called Patmos there at the northern part of the sea up to the Aegean Sea, and that is a place where John has been banished. He is in exile on the island of Patmos. They thought that when they put John in prison, that they would shut his mouth and God would stop speaking through him. But what a surprise they got. For while John was there on the island of Patmos, he has a vision. Jesus appears to him, exalted Christ appears to John, and says to John, I want you to write seven letters to seven churches in Asia Minor. Now, we so far have covered six of those, and today we're going to start the last one called Laodicea. The route that the messenger would take follows a path that begins at Ephesus. Ephesus, a very significant seaport, moving up to Smyrna along the edge of the sea. The messenger would then travel to the city of Pergamum and then would make his turn more inland of Asia Minor or Turkey, would come down through Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and eventually they would end up at Laodicea. And we're going to start today to talk about the church at Laodicea. Each of these churches so far, and it's taken me two Sundays to get through the letter, and that was my intention with Laodicea, but I'm going to tell you now, there's a possibility that we're going to be in Laodicea for three Sundays. I hope you reserve 3 weeks worth just in case. We're going to need at least 2 weeks, but it may be three. So let's look at what the Bible says about this church in Laodicea. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, you find the last letter to the last of the seven churches. And I will say as we begin to look at Laodicea, it also may be the worst church. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to sound too negative here or too mean here, but Laodicea was the most backwards, backslidden, apostate church of the seven. And it is believed that Laodicea in some ways represents the unbelieving, materialistic church of our day and time. It starts in verse 14. I'm going to read the entire passage, and then we're going to go back and look at the first part. Here's what Jesus says to John regarding this church. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, I want you to write this. These things saith the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That is the way Jesus identifies himself at the start of this letter. Now, the letter begins in verse 15. Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would or wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am going to spew or vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, the church says this, I'm rich, I am increased with goods, I have need of nothing. And Jesus says, which you don't understand, you do not know that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. So here's my counsel. I counsel you there in Laodicea. I counsel you to buy from me gold that has been tried or refined in the fire, that you may be rich. I counsel you to buy white raiment or garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. And also, you need to anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you indeed may see. And Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, church in Laodicea, and repent. And then he gives the invitation in verse 20. Behold, to the church, he says, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup or dine with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me, enter on my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father, enter on his throne. And then he gives that refrain that we read at the end of each letter. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Now, how in the world? How are we going to get through this? This is a lot of material here. So here's the way we're going to do it. I'm going to try today to get through three verses. I feel fairly confident we can do it, but I cannot promise. So here's what I want to give to you as we walk through the letter to the church at Laodicea. I want to pretend today, as we talk about the church at Laodicea, that Jesus kind of walks in as a doctor. You know what doctors are? There are some characteristics of doctors that we appreciate, and some characteristics of doctors that we could do without, to be quite honest with you. But I want to let him walk into the church at Laodicea and have a conversation with them. And I believe he would say to this church, this is a needed conversation. And there are going to be several statements he's going to make to this church that I think are summarized in these verses. Here's the very first one at the start of the passage. I think when you start looking at Laodicea, Jesus would say to this church, guess what? Let's start by taking your temperature. You know, there was a day and time where taking your temperature, it meant sticking that probe in places you'd rather not think about. I mean, when you were little, that's the way it happened, didn't it? And then they got to where it goes under your tongue, and there's all kinds of things. Last time I went to get a temperature taken, they actually shot me with a gun, like pointed something in my forehead and claimed I was okay. In fact, I walked into a hospital. They'd set up a digital display you stand in front of at a distance, and it's like supposed to detect your temperature. Jesus looks at this church and says, let's take your temperature. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's not. So here's what we got in verse 14. Letter begins, and Jesus says to John, I want you to write this letter to the angel. Now, the angel, we said, is the messenger of the church, the leader of the church, probably the pastor of the church. I want you to send this message to and through the pastor of the church. Now, notice, too, it is a leader of the church. There's a little bit of trivia here in case you are interested. This is the very last time in your Bible that, or this is the last church that is ever mentioned in your Bible. Okay? You got a church at Ephesus, church at Philippi, church at Thessalonica, lots of different churches. But the last church mentioned in your Bible is a church at Laodicea. So you're writing to this church, and he gives a location. among the people of the Laodiceans. And let's talk about Laodicea just a bit before we move further on. Laodicea, as you looked up on the map earlier, and you can't tell there with the topography, but Laodicea is a very significant city in a valley there among this portion of Asia Minor. What's interesting about Laodicea, and if you kind of get that map back in your mind, it lay at a significant crossroads, a strategic crossroads of that day and time. So, if you were traveling over from Ephesus and headed east, the road going east-west ran through Laodicea. Okay, if you're in Sardis and Philadelphia and traveling south, the road running north-south ran through Laodicea. Laodicea was a strategic crossroad. So every time you travel through that part of Asia Minor, or what we call today southwestern Turkey, every time you travel through that part of the world, you're more than likely going to pass through Laodicea. Now, because it was a strategic crossroads, it had a lot of commerce and a lot of wealth. Laodicea would be what we would consider a very progressive city of that day. Lots of money, lots of wealthy people. Laodicea actually was known as a banking center because of all of its wealth. Laodicea also had a very unique sheep that grew nearby that produced a very glossy black wool that contributed to its wealth. And by exporting and people purchasing that wool, they made a whole lot of money. Laodicea also, with the other cities, was very susceptible to earthquakes. Very, very bad earthquakes. And in the year AD 60, Laodicea was almost destroyed entirely by an earthquake. Now, because Laodicea had so much money, they were able, with their wealthy citizens, to rebuild the city without the help of the government. Imagine that. They were wealthy. They didn't need the Roman government. They were self-sustaining, and they were very proud of who they were as a city. So a very strategic location where these people called the Laodiceans were living. Now, it also, one more note, Laodicea was also known for its medical school. You've heard of VCU Medical Center? The Eastern Virginia Medical School in Norfolk. Okay, you think of places like that. Laodicea had some reputation for being a medical school, and in particular, they were known for their treatment of eye diseases. All of this is going to come into play a little bit later as we walk through the passage. So this is Laodicea. Now, because of the wealthy people there, the progressiveness of this city, they had theaters, they had a huge stadium, there were lavish public baths, and ladies, believe it or not, there were extravagant shopping centers in Laodicea. Y'all would not believe how big Liz just smiled. I don't know what that means, Paul, but you better hide the credit cards. This is Laodicea, okay? This is a strategic city, an important city, a wealthy city. And Jesus says later in this passage, this is a city that said, we have need of nothing. Now, I'm going to give you a quick little note here at the start. If you ever get to a place where you think you are self-sufficient, self-sustaining, and have need of nothing, you are probably at a very dangerous place in your life. That's where they were. Now, here's what Jesus says to this church. I am writing to the leader, to the pastor, to the messenger of the church in Laodicea, and this is what I want you to write down, John. These things that I'm going to write to this church are coming from the one who is known as the Amen. Jesus calls himself the affirmation of God. When we pray and we say amen at the end of a prayer, you are speaking in Hebrew and do not realize it. The word amen is a Hebrew word. And you are saying, God, we are praying, so let it be. May it be set as firm as concrete. That is what we are desiring in our prayer. Jesus says, I am the Amen. This is the only place in the Bible where the word amen is used to describe a person. And his name is Jesus, okay? He is the Amen. Number two, he says, not only am I the Amen, I am the faithful and true witness. Now, you understand, as I do, that it can be hard to find a faithful and true witness. The problem is this. Sometimes you may find a witness who is faithful to be there and to testify, but their witness is false. Or you may find a witness who is true and they will give you the truth of the situation, but they won't show up to testify. Here's what it says about Jesus. He does both. He's going to be there, he's going to testify, and every statement he makes is going to be true. And there is not a judge in this land who would not very much prefer to have that kind of faithful and true witness. So the Bible says Jesus comes across as a faithful one and as a true one. And number three, the one giving this message to the church at Laodicea is the beginning of the creation of God. He is the prime source and origin of everything you see around you. Jesus is the agent of creation. And this is not the only time you find this taught in the Bible. So let me give you two examples as we look at this Christology of who He is. The same John writing the book of Revelation in his gospel. The verse start of that gospel describes Jesus this way and says, all things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus is Creator God. God the Father decreed creation and chose to create through His Son, Jesus Christ. Then Paul says in the book of Colossians about who He is, by Him, speaking of Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, whether they be visible things, invisible things, whether there are thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by Him and they have been created for Him. So what Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, when you're dealing with me, I am the Amen. I am the affirmation from God. I am faithful. I am true. And everything you see around you has been created through my agency. This is how He describes Himself to the church at Laodicea. Now that's the introduction. John is on the island of Patmos. He sees the exalted Christ. He says, John, take up the pen and write a letter to the church at Laodicea and tell them the one giving you this message is Amen, faithful and true, and the source and origin of all creation. That would get my attention. Now, what does the letter say? Everything in verse 14 was introduction. Now, here's the actual letter. You can look over John's shoulders. He writes a letter on the island of Patmos. And this is what he says to the church at Laodicea. I know your works. Now, I told y'all before, every one of these seven churches, Jesus says to that church, I know your works. And you know as I know, that can be an encouraging thing, or it can be a frightening thing. He's omniscient, right? He knows all things. He looks into that church. Listen, every church in our country this morning, as it is meeting, Jesus takes the roof and peels it back and says, listen, y'all, I know what's going on in there, right? I know your deeds. Now, here's another little note about the church at Laodicea. When he says, I know your works, and he goes on to write about this church, there is not a single word of commendation given to this church. Now, let's compare. We looked at Philadelphia last week. Philadelphia had only good things that Jesus said about them and nothing negative. Now, Laodicea, exact opposite. There's nothing good He says about the church, only negative. No commendation to the church at Laodicea. Now, why is that? And we get to the heart of it in verse 15. Jesus says, I know your works. And here is His indictment. That you are neither cold nor hot. I really wish, He says, that you were one or the other. I wish you were either cold or I wish you were hot. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, 21st century American culture, you should be scratching your head right now and thinking, what in the world is he talking about here? Is he talking about the thermostat in the church sanctuary? Listen, I will tell y'all, I don't care which building you go to, everybody's got different thermostats in their systems. Some will freeze everywhere they go. Some will burn up everywhere they go. But is he talking about thermostat? Not what he's talking about. Wouldn't it be nice if he was? Wouldn't that be nice if the only reason Jesus condemned the church? Because y'all keep the air too cold in there. Y'all keep the air too hot in there. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, I'll tell you this. When he said to that church in Laodicea that you're not cold nor hot, I think they knew exactly what he was talking about. I said, what do you mean? Oh, let's let archaeology help us for a moment. So if you go over to Laodicea, what they discovered were these things called aqueducts. An aqueduct is basically a pipe for bringing in water from a different location. Now, I found an ancient picture of an aqueduct. This is not the one in Laodicea, but this is an ancient picture that shows you the kind of tunnel they would construct to be able to move water from one location to another. Now, the reason I share that is when Jesus says that you're neither hot nor cold, Laodicea was known for their wealth. They have need of nothing. They've got the best shopping malls. They've got the theaters. They've got the best stadium to watch a football game. They have got everything you'd want in a nice, large, progressive city. But the one thing they don't have is a reliable, local water supply. Oh my goodness. See, that's going to change. That changed a little bit the selling points for the real estate agent now, does it not? We don't have good drinking water here. So what did they do? Well, here's what they did. If you look at a map in the back of your Bible, and if you kind of think about the map we looked at a moment ago, Laodicea is located in a spot where you've got three cities that form kind of a tri-city region. You've got a city of Colossae, you've got the city of Hierapolis, and you've got the city of Laodicea. Now, Colossae was known for its cold water springs. Pure drinking water. I mean, the finest water you could ever drink would have come from Colossae. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got Colossae now. They are just east of Laodicea. And then just north of Laodicea, you've got another city called Hierapolis. Well, Hierapolis was known for its hot springs. So on one hand, you've got Hierapolis up above. They have the healing, soothing water that we would today call a spa, right? The mineral-laden hot water that people like to get into. Oh my goodness, yeah. People, just, right? It's supposed to soothe and kind of help with some of the aches and has some healing qualities. And then on the other hand, you've got Colossae over here, and they got the most pure, cold drinking water you could ever imagine. And then Laodicea is stuck in the middle. No local water supply. So what would they do? They would have to pipe water in through an aqueduct so that the city of Laodicea would have water to use and water to drink. But here is the problem. If we take water from Hierapolis where it's hot, and the word there means a boiling hot water, we take water from Hierapolis and pipe it into Laodicea, by the time it gets there, it loses its boiling hot nature and has become lukewarm. Oh, let's go over to Colossae. When we go over to Colossae, where the water's nice and cold and fresh and flowing and high quality, by the time we pipe it from Colossae over to Laodicea, it loses some of its chill and it becomes lukewarm. And guess what they found? When they did their excavating, they got to Laodicea and they found an aqueduct. And inside of that aqueduct was a lot of buildup of minerals. And they realized that when you take water that at one time was hot and was designed for more like a spa-type quality, and you now turn it into a lukewarm, mineral-laden water, it is not tasty. In fact, it can about make you sick. And then you've also got water perhaps coming in from Colossae that was good for drinking. Well, by the time it's gotten down to Laodicea, it's gotten lukewarm. It's picked up some dirt along the way, and Laodicea is stuck in the middle. It's like, we ain't got no good drinking water. I know that's not good grammar, but you know what they had to do? I believe they had to go buy a bottle of water. Every time they met for a get-together at their home, anywhere they went, they got to get some fresh water. So now, watch what Jesus does now. He says, y'all understand very well the situation in Laodicea. I know your works, but here's what he says. You are not either cold nor hot. Right? The water has gone from being kind of a medicinal value with the hot water and minerals, and you don't have that going for you. And you also don't have the nice cold drinking water going for you. And Jesus says, I really wish that you were one or the other. Now, what is he saying there? Honestly, in verse 15, I do not think he is talking here about a church that is spiritually cold versus a church that is spiritually hot. Why would Jesus ever say, I really wish y'all would just be as dead spiritually and cold-hearted? That's what I really desire for y'all. That's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is, being hot is a good thing, and being cold is a good thing, and y'all are not either one of those. You're lukewarm. If you were cold, you'd be refreshing like a drink of water, and if you were hot, you'd have some medicinal soothing values like the spa. But you're neither. Strange terminology here. You're not hot or cold, and really, I really wish you were one or the other. Now, here's what happens. That only leaves one option, and that's in verse 16. Because you are lukewarm. Because you're not cold nor hot. Now, a little Bible trivia for you. The word lukewarm, this is the only place in your New Testament where this word is found. Nobody else uses the word lukewarm except Jesus as he's speaking to John to give to the church at Laodicea. Because you are lukewarm. Now here's a question. What does it mean to be lukewarm? Now we understand if you, and some of you, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I know, I understand some people. It's like, you know what? I can actually handle hot coffee and I can handle even cold coffee. That became popular for some reason. I don't understand. I don't drink the stuff. I can handle hot or cold, but I mean, there's something about lukewarmness, I think I'll just pass. Right? There's something about lukewarmness, it just doesn't set right with us. And so what does Jesus mean when he says to this church, you're lukewarm? You're not hot, not cold. It looks like to me, he's saying to this church in Laodicea, that there is an indifference here. You are a half-hearted church. You are a middle-of-the-road church, and instead of putting out qualities to refresh people or putting out qualities to soothe people, you're indifferent, apathetic, and it's almost like you just don't even care. Oh my goodness, this is not a very nice thing to say to this church, is it not? You're getting too comfortable, right? You are too complacent. And don't forget, your Bible fits together. So 35 years before John gives this message, the Apostle Paul had some of the same concern. So how do you know that? Because it's in the Bible. Let me show you the verse. Paul's writing a letter to the church in Colossae. Remember, that's a church near Laodicea. They've got the cold water. They've got the springs there, good drinking water. And as he is writing to the church in Laodicea or Colossae, he says, I want you there in Colossae to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea. Even 35 years before Jesus says you're lukewarm, Paul has already said, I've got some concerns for that church in Laodicea. And I will say that it's not a good place to be in life when we're not hot or cold, but when we're just lukewarm and indifferent, apathetic, and don't seem to really care anymore about what the church is doing and what it ought to be doing and making a difference in people's lives. And I'm going to quote real quick. C.S. Lewis made a statement about this, and this is what he said. I think it's a good statement in this context. C.S. Lewis said, Christianity, if it's false, is of no importance. If it is true, it is of infinite importance. But one thing it cannot be is just moderately important. That's called lukewarm, right? That's what he's talking about. If it ain't true, then forget it. It doesn't matter. Drink, eat, be merry, for tomorrow we die. They're going to throw us in a ditch and it doesn't matter. But if it is true, it is of infinite importance. So Jesus is the church. Why in the world do y'all not care in Laodicea? Wow, there's a lot more here than we think when he talks about being hot and cold. And I'm going to say this quick, and I got to quit. I ain't going to get through everything I wanted to. But it may be in the churches today, this is the most prevalent sin among believers, right? Because we grow indifferent. I do, you, it's just the way we are. And years ago I heard, and Jill, you're going to know this name, I heard Vody Baucom, great preacher, he preached at our state convention probably, man, it could have been 15, 18 years ago. And Vody Baucom said something about this church I'd never thought of before. He said, yes, he had some issues. Okay, being cold was a good thing in that context for the fresh drinking water. Being hot was a good thing for the soothing nature of the hot springs out of Hierapolis. But he said, for Laodicea to be lukewarm, here's what he said. He said, all that means is they were just too far from the source. Now think about that for a minute. Why is the water not hot and soothing like it ought to be? We're too far from Hierapolis. Why is the water not cold and refreshing like it ought to be? We've gotten too far from Colossae. And Vody Baucom, he said, in a church, when we are too far removed from our source, we become lukewarm. We become indifferent. I'm like, my goodness, is that what he's saying to this church? There is none of these seven churches more appropriate to our 21st century context than the church of Laodicea. And you know what's going to happen? Jesus, based on what he taught and what the Bible says, what we discover is this. As we get closer and closer to the end of time, as we get closer and closer to the time when the rapture occurs, Jesus returns, Antichrist appears, and all the plagues occur. When we get closer, as we get closer and closer to that time, I can promise you, based on what Jesus taught, the church is going to become more and more like Laodicea. And I'm not saying that locally for us. I'm just saying in general, the universal church is going to become more and more indifferent, more and more apathetic. There's going to be more heat from the world coming in upon the church when we stand for truth. I promise you, as we get closer and closer to the end, our society is going to look more and more like Laodicea. Now, here's a problem with that. And I'm going to try to hurry up because I don't want to stop right here in the middle. Here's a problem with that. Verse 16, Jesus says, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, oh, watch out. I am going to spew you out of my mouth. Now, let's get into the Greek for just a minute. When he says there, spew, that is the word for vomit. Do you realize that God has created the body so that when poison is on the inside, it is designed to violently eject that poison? Vomiting is not a pleasant experience, y'all. It can make you heave and make noises and get into shapes and sizes you didn't think your body could get into. And yet Jesus says for this church, because you are lukewarm, it's just like this mineral-laden lukewarm water that made them sick to their stomach. He said, you are making me sick to my stomach. You know what I could do? I said this one time before. If you look at Laodicea and what he says in verse 16, you can entitle this sermon, How to Make Jesus Sick. I mean, truly, how to make him sick. And he says a way to make him sick is to engage in the sin of indifference, of apathy, of not caring. And Jesus says, it's like I could just spew you out and vomit you out. Here's what we got to be careful of, and I'm going to be done. And I'm so thankful at Mountain View, man. We try to be strong and stand on truth. But I'm telling you, we got to always be on our guard against lukewarmness. Right? And always be on your guard against either not being that healing type of soothing ministry in a church or that nice refreshing drink of cold water in a church and you get to a place where you just don't care anymore. Just middle of the road. Anything goes. Who cares? And there's no accountability. We got everything we need, so everything is going to be okay. Any issues of warning? It says, for this church at Laodicea, you've making me sick to my stomach. So here's how we close today, and I did get through everything I wanted to get through. I left out one little thing, but it must be okay. Here's what I want to ask you as we close today, and I want you to think about, I know it's talking here to a church, but you know, I've found in my life, I can look at me, right? I don't need to look at y'all. I don't need to look at the lost person. In fact, I have tried to get over the fact that lost people act like lost people. You hear what I'm saying? And that gets me mad. It hurts. It makes me angry, honestly, when I see a lost person acting like a lost person, and I realize they're just acting according to their nature, right? So I don't need to look outside. I can look at me, and I can look at me and realize, you know what? I got to watch out for tendencies of growing lukewarm, right? And the thing is, if I notice tendencies there, then I got to then watch out for making sure I don't attempt to ignore that. Because if I ignore that, then I fit in like the church at Laodicea. He says here, you make me sick to my stomach. Oh my goodness. So y'all, that is the way we start the letter to the church at Laodicea. I'm going to try to get through this in 2 weeks. It's going to probably be three at this point. But he starts off and says, let's take your temperature. Right? Let's see where things are. So let me stop there, and next week we'll pick up in verse 17. Let's bow together as we close. And as we bow together today, it is our custom here at the church to provide an opportunity for us to respond. And that calls upon us just to pray. And we're going to do that today. And you know that as we close out our time, and this altar area is up here, if you need to come today and bow in prayer, you can do so. Or there at your seat, it really doesn't matter. But the point is, if there's something in the passage that has really stood out to you, and you kind of get that uneasy feeling on the inside that maybe something's not where you want it to be right now, then this is the opportunity to repent of that and ask for God's help and commit to Him. Being hot and cold, that's where we want to be according to the water issue they had, but being lukewarm is not good. So that's what this little time is for. And then just in case that you're gathered with us here today or listening later and you're not saved, you don't know Christ as your Savior and your Lord, this is the opportunity God has given to you again to respond to His offer of eternal life and to simply say in prayer, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know and believe You died on the cross for me. You were raised from the grave, and I'm repenting of my sin and by faith taking You to be my Savior, my Lord, committing my life to You. So I'm going to be quiet. Now you pray, you think through what we've looked at today, and then I'll close our time with a final amen, and we'll be on our way. As we're bowed and I close us in prayer, I want you to know, I know since the pandemic we don't close like we used to, but any Sunday that you feel like you need to talk or you want to share something for prayer after the service, please come to me and let me know that I'll help in any way I can. Father, You've heard our prayers today. You've heard and know our thoughts today. Just with Laodicea, You said, I know Your works. I know what You're doing. I know what You're thinking. And so You know all about us. And we're so thankful that You want to draw us to Yourself. You want us to be hot like a soothing spa toward others. You want us to be cold like a fresh drink of water toward others. But it's that lukewarm thing and indifference and apathy that you just can't tolerate. So God, help us as we leave this place today to be mindful of tendencies of drifting toward lukewarmness. And also, help us not to ignore those. Just to repent, to make things right with You, and then restore that fellowship and ministry of serving and living for You. Thank You for each one here today. Bless as we leave. We pray for a good week, a safe week, that you'd be honored through our lives in this upcoming week. We close our time by approaching you in prayer as we do so in Jesus' holy name. Amen.